On our return, I will gladly sponsor a pilgrimage. It was a generous offer, but the other Ungoy said nothing. Dadaab sighed inside his mask. It was a commonly held belief amongst all true believers that everyone should see High Charity at least once in their lifetime. The problem was, the San Shum's holy city was constantly in motion, and the vast distances between the various Covenant fleets and habitats made travel prohibitively expensive for the faith's less prosperous adherents. Even so, Dadaab was shocked that these Ungoy lacked even the desire to make the journey.
The sacred vessel alone is worth the effort.
Dadaab used his stubby fingers to trace the Forerunner dreadnought's triangular shape in midair.
It is an awe-inspiring sight, especially from the lower districts.
My cousin lives in districts, mumbled Bapop.
He was the only Ungoy from Dadaab's original 20-member study group in this particular encampment. An unusually large Ungoy named Flim shot Bapop a nasty look, and Dadaab's only eager pupil did his best to disappear into his harness. Flim sat on a pile of equipment boxes and supplies. Deep, oozing pits in his chitinous skin indicated a prolonged struggle with barnacles, a common affliction with the Ungoy who worked the foul bilges of large habitats. Dadaab knew it wasn't wise to cross an Ungoy tough enough to survive that hellish occupation. But he continued, as if ignorant of Flim's disapproval.
Oh? Which district?
Bapop didn't meet the deacon's gaze.
I do not know.
What's your cousin's name?
Dadaab persisted.
We might have met.
The chances of that were one in a million, but he was eager to keep the conversational spark alive. All the encampments were beginning to devolve into fiefdoms, and Dadaab was eager to reverse the trend. Ungoy like Flim were harming his ministry, making it impossible to uplift his flock.
Yayap, son of Pum, Bapop said nervously, of Balaho's blasted scablands.
Ungoy didn't have surnames. Instead, they formally identified themselves by the names and birthplaces of favorite patriarchs. Dadaab knew this Pum could have been anyone. Bapop's uncle, or a great-great-grandfather, or some mythical paterfamilias his ancestors revered. Balaho was the name of the Ungoy homeworld, but Dadaab wasn't familiar with the district Bapop had mentioned. Even so, he persevered.
Does he work for a ministry?
He serves the Sangheili.
As a soldier?
A sentry.
He must be very brave.
Or stupid,
Flim grumbled, extracting a food packet from his pile.
Like Yul.
He jabbed a length of tubing into the packet, screwed the other end onto a nipple protruding from his mask, and began to suckle sludge. The other Ungoy hunched closer to the heating coil. The deacon knew very little about the Jirulhane's first descent to the alien planet, the parley in the gardens. He had spent the whole mission on Rapid Conversion's bridge, minding the luminary. But Dadaab knew Bapop had been part of the Ungoy contingent, as had most of his study group. Thanks in part to the deacon's ministrations, these were Rapid Conversion's most confident and reliable Ungoy, and Maccabeus had asked for them specifically. Tragically, one of the group, Yul, had not returned. And when Dadaab had asked why, Bapop and the others wouldn't say. Eventually, Dadaab screwed up enough courage to confront Maccabeus in Rapid Conversion's feasting hall.
He was disobedient, and Tartarus killed him,
the chieftain had replied with shocking candor.
Your pupils have learned nothing, Deacon. Nothing that makes them useful to me now.
It was a stinging indictment, one that hurt Dadaab deeply.
I am sorry, chieftain. What else would you have me do?
But the chieftain had simply stared down at the hall's mosaic, his silver-tufted arms clasped tightly behind his back. Maccabeus hadn't said much of anything to anyone since he had received the ministry's clipped response to his jubilant confirmation of the reliquary and the oracle. After an awkward silence, broken only by the sizzling snaps of the oil lamps, Dadaab had bowed and turned to go.
Which is the greater sin?
Maccabeus asked, after Dadaab had taken a handful of backward steps.
Disobedience or desecration?
I suppose it would depend on the circumstances.
The deacon took a deep breath. The valves in his mask clicked as he carefully chose his words.
The punishments for those who knowingly defy the prophets are severe, but so too the penalties for harming holy relics.
The prophets.
Maccabeus's words fell flat, a period on some unspoken thought.
Chieftain, is there nothing I can do?
Dadaab had begun to think this was not a theoretical discussion, and that Maccabeus was in a real crisis. But the chieftain's only answer was to dismiss Dadaab with a slow, backhand sweep of his paw.